This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
No surprise here about what Vaughn Palmer from the Vancouver Sun and I are going to be talking about. So Vaughn, I have an idea.
Yeah.
So I am willing to offer my services. I am willing to sit down in a room with Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke and her counselors and with Surrey Police and, you know, the provincial government and just let's do this. You guys, here are the questions that I hear you have here. And I am willing to hash this thing out with them because I feel like if I can get the answers, they can all get the answers.
Well, that's a very interesting theory, Simi, and I wouldn't for a moment dispute your skill as an interviewer. However, you're assuming they have the answers. And after listening to the provincial government's performance, Mike Farnworth yesterday, I don't think they have the answers. They said we were going to get a transition plan, get it last week. What we got yesterday, Simi, was a date. Okay, that's when the transition starts, November 29th. But the rest of it, they have a plan to have a plan, but I don't think they have a plan. And I think Peter German confirmed that to you as well, that Surrey City has been asking for an actual, the sort of thing we imagine with a plan. This is what's going to happen here. This is what's going to happen next. This is good. They can't get one either, and I think it's because they don't have one.
Is it possible that what they all need to do is just get in a room and hash this out? Because it's really hard when they're communicating via press conferences and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's just, can everybody just sit down and ask the questions that you want to ask and get this sorted out?
Well, you know, German again, and I'll remind the listener that Peter German's considerable credibility on these issues was provided by Premier David Eby. Back when he was on a crusade to crack down on money laundering in the province, Peter German was his resident expert. In fact, David Eby used to refer to him as Dr. Peter German, as if he were a medical doctor. He has a PhD, no question about that. But, you know, this is a good example. So Surrey went and hired David Eby's expert to help them through this transition. And what he said this morning is there's a whole bunch of questions they don't have an answer to. Now, there is also a fundamental disagreement here. The duly elected mayor and council of Surrey wanted to go back to the RCMP. And initially they thought the provincial government would let them do that. The province has stepped in and slammed the door on them doing that and imposed Surrey policing services. Well, the council believes that's going to be a very, very expensive transition, and they don't want to take the political heat for it. And they may be right about the costs, right? The province has assured us that they've got the costs in hand, but the province assured us they had a plan, too. There's no roadmap for this sort of thing. A provincial government stepping in and imposing a policing transition on a municipality that the municipality doesn't want. And this is BC's second largest city. So, you know, I understand the frustration people have with this, but this is a fundamental disagreement that's been going on for a long time. And I'm still mystified as to why the New Democrats insisted on imposing this on Surrey when Surrey Council and City didn't want it. And I suspect, Simi, there are some New Democrats who are asking themselves that too, because it's been far messier and gone on much longer than the NDP said. I mean, transition starts November 29th, if all is well. Did you notice yesterday when Mike Farnworth was asked, when is transition over? He didn't really have an answer. Oh, 2.5 years. That's like 2026, maybe 2027. We'll be fighting through this next term of BC government, and they'll be lucky to have it done by the time of the 2028 provincial election.
I know that is crazy to me, given when we started talking about this. And I remember that Doug McCallum at the time, the mayor who was elected on this platform to do this, was saying spring 2021, done. Yep. Spring. Oh, yeah. And I remember telling him, that's not going to happen. And he laughed at me. Oh, you're such a naysayer.
Yeah, well, you're still a naysayer.
So I know. Yeah. I know.
But I tell you, nobody ever went out of business estimating on this one how long it's going to take. It's going to take longer than we've been told, and it's going to cost a lot more than anyone has let on. And I wouldn't try to guess when it is going to be done. And of course, there's a court case starting on April 29th, well, yeah, where the city is essentially arguing, asking for the court's help in reversing, continuing the reversal of direction on this. I mean, I think the day will come when it's over and it'll be Surrey Policing Services, but I wouldn't guess how much it's going to cost, and I wouldn't guess when it's going to be done.
There's so much riding on this court case. Clearly, the city of Surrey believes very strongly that they can win, and that's going to be the end of this.
Yeah, and the province believes it's a slam dunk case. It's in the bag. The court can't stop this. And then they say, I love this, you know, and even if the court does stop it, we still have the power to make it happen another way. So this is how dug in the provincial government is on this. And, you know, I would say, okay, you know, go way back to when they decided, when they changed their mind about letting it go ahead and letting Surrey do what it wanted to do on this, they went into an area where, yes, there's provincial jurisdiction on this, ultimately, in the law, and that may be what the court rules, right? But there's also a council out there that was elected and has stuck to it. And I hear from New Democrats saying, oh, well, you know, she didn't have much of a margin, right? She barely won. They've formed governments at times with fewer votes than the opposition, and they still govern the province because that's how our political system works. Surrey Council is as legitimate as the NDP government that governed the province in 1996 through to 2001. And as legitimate as the government that took office in 2027.
Also,
the votes in the legislature, that's where it counts.
As legitimate as the previous Surrey Council that decided to do this to begin with. I mean, it was the same kind of margin of victory. So lots to come. Some more interesting development to talk about with Vaughn Palmer this morning. Lots of debate about this the last few weeks. But now, Vaughn, I was kind of surprised to suddenly hear that the government has decided to pause Bill 12.
Yes, so Bill 12 is a law that would allow the provincial government to go after the marketers, distributors, and manufacturers of risky health products in British Columbia, products that propose risk to health, and go after them, send them the bill for the presumed cost to the provincial healthcare system of their products. That's what the law actually says, very broad. The government has been under fire from business community since it's too broad and you can't figure out who they're going to use it against. Fair complaints, I think, because the law is vague. But the reason you're surprised, Simi, is because on Monday, the Attorney General, Nikki Sharma, who brought the bill in back in March, was asked, are you going to listen to all these calls for you to back off? And she said, no, we're not. We have no plans to pause this bill. And then on Tuesday, the government, 9 o'clock in the morning, we get this news release saying the bill has been paused. What happened? Well, Sharma says that, you know, there were confidential negotiations going on and she couldn't talk about that on Monday, but because they were intense and, you know, and but on Tuesday it happened and they had a deal and the bill is paused. Premier Eby was asked, Simi, whether this was because of all the pressure from the business community. And he said, no, it had nothing to do with that. What happened is the big social media companies were brought to the table by this legislation, and they've agreed to meet with the government and on an action table, that's what the government's calling it, to come up with ways to make their products, meaning online social media like Facebook and TikTok and X and so forth, Snapchat, they make those safer for young people to deal with the risk to young lives and young well-being by what gets posted on those things and the way predators operate and all that. So the Premier says, that's why we weren't listening to the business community. We're just happy that the social media companies have come to the table and agreed to discuss in short term, haven't been given much time, voluntary remedies to the problems identified by the government.
Oh, yes, because those big social media companies love to take up the voluntary remedies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, you only need to quote David Eby. When he brought this bill in back in March, he said it was going after the faceless billionaires who run these giant companies and don't see themselves as accountable to anybody and take no responsibility for the damage that social media does to particularly young people. That's David Eby. He said you can't trust these people. They're ruthless. They're greedy, and, you know, frankly, that's why we need legislation. So now he says he's going to give them a second chance. Okay, he's going to give them a second chance. The bill hasn't been withdrawn. It's simply been paused. The government has the votes to put the bill through if it chooses to do. But there's a pretty tight time frame, Simi. There's less than 4 weeks left in the spring session of the legislature. House only sits for 4 days a week. So, I mean, the government could extend the session or whatever. But really, this action table needs to show action very quickly.
Okay. I'm so curious about what happened with this thing, because I remember speaking to the Attorney General about this and they were adamant, like you say, about, no, we're not going to change this. It's fine. Business community is okay. Don't worry about it. Something happened, right? Yeah. For them to understand that, no, this, they are worried about this. This is serious.
Yeah. I mean, I think, first of all, the social media companies did respond in some form and said, okay, you want to talk about ways we can deal with this? Let's talk. And so the government went, well, I guess we'll have to meet with them and do that. And they put together this action table and maybe it'll show results. But Simi, I think this is also providing some cover to the government for all the other problems with Bill 12. And there's 24 business groups, including some national ones, that have said, this bill is just ridiculously wide open. You know how, like, one snap out of it, right? The liabilities go back 15 years. Usually it's 5 years. Another one, how do they persuade the court that the product, which is risky, actually cost the province extra in health care? Well, the minister signs a certificate saying what it is. And the law says the judge must, you know, follow the directives of that. I mean, whether this thing would stand up to a court challenge is another issue. It reads to me like a half-baked piece of legislation. Somebody in the premier's office said, we need to show action on this. And the poor legislative drafting people went, okay, all right, we'll get to work. And they came up with, as I said, something that is pretty half-baked and vague and wide open.
But they,
but
you know,
it's not dead.
Okay. The thing is, they talked all about how much consultation they had done on this. And, you know, it was like amazing how much they had done. But I thought, are you telling me that nobody stopped and said, hey, businesses might not like this. There might be repercussions. Of, like, where are the people who, do they not play devil's advocate before they submit this, something?
What I keep hearing is this government at the moment is being run by the political advisors in the premier's office and the NDP re-election strategy team, and they're not listening to anybody else about anything. And they're determined to get themselves somehow or other through to election day, and then we'll find out what the real agenda is. I mean, I think that was evident yesterday again, Simi, this week, with the government's determination that everything is fine with decrimination. We're going to just decriminalization. We're going to stay the course on that. And every day there's something comes out that's more embarrassing about what's going wrong with decriminalization, but they're going to stay the course because there's job. The agenda is being called by the insiders in the premier's office, and they aren't listening to anybody else.
And that happened again, right? Now it's Island Health telling hospitals, it's okay to allow people to do this. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Is it a health authority problem here, Vaughn? Like, there is clearly a disconnect going on somewhere.
Well, the people running the healthcare system are trying to deal with the consequences of decriminalization in the hospitals of the province. And so we get this incredible memo from Island Health, which is just a few weeks old, and it tells nurses that you cannot take their illicit drugs away anymore. And it's a suggests that, you know, nurses could maybe lend a helping hand with illicit drug takers, showing them how to take the drugs safely.
Crazy.
But that's what they're like. These are the people that are trying to manage the system are trying to manage the system under the diktats of a premier's office that simply won't listen to anybody because they don't want to back down on decriminalization because that will look like it was a failure, which it is, but they don't want to admit it. And the island, and it was really interesting to listen to Adrian Dix yesterday, Cindy, because he's totally at a loss how to respond to this. It's hard to remember it was the same health minister who was so in command of the agenda during the pandemic.
I know.
He's out to lunch on this thing along with everybody else.
Things have changed. All right, Vaughn, thank you.
Bye-bye, Simi.
That is Vaughn Palmer there from the Vancouver Sun. You want to weigh in, Simi at cknw.com.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.